This is the I Read Comic Books podcast. I am your host, Mike Rappin. With me this week is the one and only Brian Murray.
Hey.
This week we are off technically, but Brian and I decided we should record a holiday special episode of IRCB as a mini-sode before we jump into 2021. So for this week's episode, I guess mini-sode, Brian and I are going to be talking about three books that Brian picked out. So I'm just going to put the blame on him really quick. But today we're going to be talking about Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special Number 1, Power Man and Iron Fist Sweet Christmas Annual Number 1, and Merry X-Men Holiday Special Number 1. If you haven't read those books, we're going to be spoiling them, so get yourself ready. Nonetheless, Brian, let's dive into the chaos of these books, because quite honestly, I can't wait to talk about them. Let's start with Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special Number 1. This is written by Keith Giffen and Alan Grant, with art by Simon Bisley. What the hell happened in this book, Brian? What is this fucking book?
So this actually is what like made me want to do a holiday special, because I was on TikTok in the middle of the night, as I often am. And somebody was like, how about that time that Lobo beat the shit out of Santa Claus? I was like, all right, I guess I'll look into that. Mm-hmm. And that's what this book is about. Lobo is hired to assassinate Santa Claus, hired by the Easter Bunny.
A very drunken Easter Bunny, for the record.
Yeah. Just slurring left and right.
Yeah, the first like five pages of this book had me so confused, because it follows like this woman, this man and this woman, and they're like arguing about Christmas, and they're gonna kill their kids or something, or they're gonna kill somebody. I genuinely couldn't follow it.
Yeah, the conceit seems to be that if the kids don't get Christmas presents, the kids will kill the parents. And so the parents are like, well, we gotta kill the kids first.
Right.
I didn't really track that at all.
Yeah, like, this is one of those things that like 1991 was a bad time for everything, or 93, whenever this came out. It came out in the early 90s, and comic books were bad. That's all I can say. But because this book basically feels like someone took the movie Crow and then decided to make an even more badass version of that, but then they went too far, because Lobo, I've never read a Lobo comic to save my life, so I'm just going to be completely honest here. I knew of the character, knew that he was very like meta and he aware of things and stuff, but this book goes to a whole nother level of just wild and insane, where Lobo shows up and he's wearing like this tiny little jacket over his body with these muscular arms that physically don't make any sense and shouldn't be able to bend. Like, he looks like the kid from the Christmas Story who can't bring his arms down, but somehow he's brought the arms down. He's wearing these jeans with skulls all over. He's got a big old like Nazi iron cross on his chest. He's got big Kiss makeup on, and I knew this is what Lobo looked like for the most part. And he's wearing big red, you know, leather jacket, and he always had like this face paint on his face, or that's actually his skin, I don't know. But yeah, he shows up at the North Pole, ready to kill all of the elves and Santa. I don't know, Brian. What did you think of what happened in this book? I guess.
I wasn't crazy about it.
Yeah,
every time Lobo shows up, because I watch a lot of DC animated stuff, but I don't read a lot of the comics. Mm-hmm. And every time Lobo shows up, like when he showed up in Young Justice and stuff like that, I'm like, oh yeah, I hate this fucking guy. and I had the exact same experience with this, where like he's in the bar, he's like the main man. I'm like, oh right, you're this guy.
Yeah, his voice sounds like Macho Man Randy Savage. I think the first time he said that, he's like, oh yeah, it's your main man coming in. Like, okay, like, sure. And I get the idea of like action-packed, you know, full steel, gotta, you know, put the pedal to the metal, like blazing action story comics, but this book is absurd. It's grotesque. Everything about this book is ugly to me, except for Lobo's face. For some reason, is like a perfectly drawn face in a lot of ways. Like, it's very human. Everything else looks awful. The elves look terrifying. The Santa Claus is god awful. He's supposed to be like this big player that is actually a terrible murderer. like they try to justify the story, and then Santa Claus is this crime dude who only once a year donates to charity to get everyone off his back. Meanwhile, he has this militant force of elves that he keeps malnourished to a certain extent, so they're like the perfect subservient, you know, little army. But like, there was so much buildup just to get Lobo in the room to kill everyone. Like, you don't have to justify it. I know this guy is bad and stupid. Just have him kill everybody.
Yeah, it really feels like Lobo is supposed to be a satirical character of like, mm-hmm. like taking the piss out of this archetype of the uber macho murder man. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that this book or any Lobo content I've seen really knows what it's trying to say. So sure. It's not really successful satire. It's just the worst example of the thing that they're trying to be satirical about.
Yeah. And part of that reminds me of the way that Judge Dredd exists. You know, like Judge Dredd is absurd and over the top. But as you're reading it, you know, if you're someone that pays attention to the outside world, you can see a lot of the parallels and where these stories are coming from, and like the very clear parallels that they're trying to draw in the book. When they introduce characters that are supposed to be like Julius Caesar, or they're supposed to be like Margaret Thatcher or Ronald Reagan, like, you know what's happening in those books. I couldn't tell you what Lobo was trying to accomplish in this book, other than having scenes where he shows up to talk to the, quote, in continuity, by the way, Rudolph the Mutant Reindeer. He asks him to come help him or he'll kill him. And he says, no, never. You're naughty, much too naughty. And so Lobo just kills him, to which I'm like, what is the point of this, to be like, look at how fucking edgy this guy is? That makes sense.
Yeah, no, that is the point. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, then maybe I just didn't understand it. But yeah, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, Lobo steals Santa's sleigh. These reindeer are like, if we don't go with him, he's going to kill us. Like, what kind of message is this book sending? I know it doesn't have to be positive, but I also am like, where's the fun in this book? Who thinks that this is entertaining? And if you do understand, if you do find it entertaining, like, please reach out. There's an email address, ircbpodcast@gmail.com. Love to hear your thoughts. But man, this book was so unenjoyable for me.
Yeah, I was reading it in front of a nurse. How do you think I felt?
You were reading this in public. Wow, bold move. Bold move.
Well, yeah, I got to do something while I'm hooked up to the blood draw machine.
Yeah, I will say the last page of this book did get a chuckle out of me because of how absurd it is, which is Lobo and his dog, by the way, giving us the middle finger. You know, cigars in mouth, Merry Christmas, compadres, ho, ho, fraggin' ho. I honestly think if this book could have gotten away with having swear words in it, it would have. Like, every other page would have just been fuck this, shit that, damn this, bitch you, like all that stuff. Bitch University is what he would be talking about. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to keep complaining about this book until we move on, Brian. So please,
let's move on. Let's talk about Power Man and Iron Fist. Sweet Christmas.
Yes. Yes. This book really was such a palate cleanser, you know, because I read these in order, right? The order that I think we're going to talk about it today. And this book was fantastic. I don't know. Could you give us a quick summary of what this book was, Brian?
Yeah. So this book was about the evils of capitalism. But it was also about
the evils of Pokemon.
Yeah. It was about Krampus in human guise has released these toys that are, surprise, actually demons. And Luke Cage's daughter really, really digs these toys. So they're waiting in line to buy some at midnight. And then things go, awry. So Power Man and Iron Fist with guest star Jessica Drew have to kill all these demon toys and fight Krampus. And who was the other guy who showed up? I can't remember.
Son of Satan. Yeah.
Shows up to save character. Christmas. Dressed as Santa Claus. Not sure why.
It doesn't matter, because at one point he opens up his chest and there's a giant flaming pentagram, and I was all for it. Santa Claus with a giant pentagram in his chest. Oh, I love that. That was fantastic. But yeah, they you know, he shows up and he's kind of grumbling, walking through this toy store, you know, about how ungrateful people are, which I thought he was going to be the villain before it was revealed who he actually was.
Yeah.
But I like the twist that they have about this and the discussion that they have mid-fight, because, you know, it's Marvel Comics, about who's good and who's bad and who's naughty and who's nice. And Son of Satan has this, you know, I lean both ways because, you know, he's an anti-hero without saying so few words. And I really liked just the overall look and action of this book, because you've got this guy with this, you know, huge forked trident, I should say, just blasting away these little Pokemon style demons. And then Krampus is so beautiful in this book. I love the way that that character was drawn as a villain. And it was just a straight up action brawl featuring, you know, Jessica Drew, who's trying to handle her being a new mom, and, you know, Danny just being Danny, who's a good friend to Luke Cage, but also a dimwit sometimes. And I love that guy for that reason.
Yeah, he's very, like, he's naive to the ways of the world, because, you know, he grew up in a monastery.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At one point, someone's like, "Didn't you have toys in Kunlun?" And he's like, "I had a stick. That was toy-like."
Stick's a toy, yeah.
This idea of, like the toys are actually evil has gotten a little played out over the years. Like, I mean, it's Gremlins.
Yeah.
But I felt like they did such a good job with it that mm-hmm. I'm not even mad about it. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this is a really fun annual. You know, as someone who wasn't reading the Power Man and Iron Fist book, it was actually something that was really easy to jump into. I kept thinking that Jessica Drew was Jessica Jones for some reason, and I was like, why does Jessica Jones have a baby? Since when can she shoot lasers out of her hands? And then literally as we're sitting here recording, I went, oh, Jessica Drew is in Spider-Woman, right? Duh. So yeah. Now it all makes sense.
Yeah, I like that. I like that Luke Cage is just great with kids too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like every time I read a Luke Cage book, I'm always like, man, I should read more Luke Cage, because he's such an enjoyable character to read. And, you know, him and Danny are like my favorite comic book couple in a lot of ways, just because their friendship is so wholesome, and it's like everything that you would want out of, like, a, you know, Spider-Man Daredevil friendship. But those two have their own fucking problems, whereas Danny and Luke make all of their problems fit together so that they can still be friends and still be close friends that hang out often, or at least that's how the writers craft it. And I really appreciate that, because I don't think we get enough stories about just platonic friends hanging out that aren't just part of a super team. Because in my mind, Danny and Luke are friends first, superheroes second, when it comes to that kind of split. And it's clear in this book, like, how big of buddies they are, because in the opening handful of pages, it's just them shooting the shit as they're waiting in line. And while that's not very action-packed, it's really fun to read. And I love that book for this reason.
Yeah, I was reading this Power Man and Iron Fist book in 2016 when it was coming out. And then I fell off for some reason. I can't remember why. But this reading this made me want to go back and read the rest of that.
Absolutely.
This is also our second book where Santa Claus beats ass. Because at the end of the day, they can't take Krampus on his own. So Kris Kringle shows up and puts a hurting on this horned demon.
Right. And I love that idea that, like, Santa Claus hadn't been seen in 100 years. And so this is the 100th year anniversary where Krampus was going to open this portal to hell. But it's not the hell you think of. It's a different hell. It's a Krampus hell, which I was like, oh God, Hickman needed to come in and fix the world with Secret Wars, I guess. because, like, holy smokes, like, Son of Satan is trying to explain that this is happening. He's like, but this isn't the hell you think it is. I was like, oh God, Marvel just loves to make its own continuity problems, don't they? But yeah, then Saint Nick shows up, and he does look pretty cool. Like, I will say, you know, everyone always manages to make Santa who kicks ass look very cool. I appreciate that.
It is very, very funny that Krampus is just like, okay, it's been 100 years. I can do my stuff now. And the second he tries, Santa's like, bitch, you thought.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, so this is a very good pick. I appreciate it, and I'm glad that I don't have anything bad to say about this book. Like, you know, we talk about one-shots all the time being sometimes not really easy to get into, and maybe my bias of having background in reading Luke Cage and Iron Fist books and even some stuff, knowing who Jessica Drew is, who, even if I thought it was Jessica Jones, maybe that skews my, you know, perception. But I also think that this is a pretty easy book to get into. You don't need to know the backgrounds of these characters too much. You really don't even need to know their power sets. You just need to know that they're superheroes in order to jump into this. And I think it overall delivers like a good message. You could just hand this off to some, you know, some kid or some new comic book reader to say, here's a holiday special, try it out. And I think they'd have a good time. I mean, maybe they'd enjoy Lobo too. We didn't really talk about that. Maybe they'd enjoy that if they need some of that super edgy holiday anti-cheer. But I think this one's actually Power Man and Iron Fist, Sweet Christmas Annual works. And at the end of the issue, they say Sweet Christmas and all was right in the world. So that, you know, if that's not a good holiday season wrapper, like, I don't know what is.
Real, truly the polar opposite to the Lobo special.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get into this last one, I guess. Merry X-Men Holiday Special. I feel like I have a lot of thoughts about this book. So, Brian, what was your takeaway from this series of one-page stories?
Well, I wish that it hadn't been a series of one-page stories.
Okay.
maybe it's just like from coming off of Luke Cage and wanting another like cohesive story to be told. But this is like we go from Jubilee packing for a trip and then getting kidnapped. And then on the next page, Kitty Pryde is lighting a menorah and talking about running for president. And on the next page, Wolverine's claws are on fire for some reason and he's chasing ninjas through suburbia.
Hot claws. Hashtag hot claws. Yes.
And like the only like overarching story appears to be this thing with Jubilee. Mm-hmm. Who has been kidnapped by Arcade, who has been hired to make an interactive like mall shopping experience escape room type yeah. thing.
Yeah.
It's not clear, but it also doesn't really have to be, so it's fine. Yeah. Otherwise, like there are some one page things I really liked and others I was less crazy about. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, I liked the Charles Soule story about Wolverine with the hot claws, if only because I got to see Ryan Brown draw Wolverine going insane, and that's just fun to me. This book, I picked it up when it came out originally, and I remember hating it. I remember getting to the hot claws page and turning it over and saying, this is a waste of my money, and being genuinely very mad about it because so many people online were just like, you guys, they did a holiday special for the X-Men. And that's fine. Like, I get it. Like, it's exciting.
I would have expected you to be one of those people.
No, that's the thing. I was hyped about it, and then I got through it. I was like, oh, it's not actually a story. It's just things happening. Because like, there's the Jean Grey story, which I thought was goofy because the end is kind of a funny reveal. The Zach Thompson and Lonnie Nadler story about
Nature Girl
just being devastated by the holidays. Like,
yeah.
What?
That was a huge, huge bummer out of nowhere.
Excuse me? Like, I could not believe it. And I mean, leave it to Zach Thompson and Lonnie Nadler. I mean, I think when this book came out, they were either ramping up or ramping down off of Age of X. I can't remember what the timelines. So they had like their Age of X-Man. And I think like, this is just them being like one more final, all right, fuck you guys, we're doing depressing shit over at Marvel before they took off. But yeah,
cutting straight from like wackadoodle Deadpool stuff to I hear every Christmas tree slowly dying. was a big like, ugh.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think I like the Cena Grace story. I really liked the Nightcrawler and Wolverine story where Nightcrawler gets Wolverine a gift picture of himself by Chip Zdarsky. I thought that was really fun. And the Beast Dr. Nemesis story is actually a funny bit for my heart because I love Dr. Nemesis as a character. You know, so him and Dr. Nemesis competing for Kavita, the doctor's name, just to give her, you know, more Star Wars stuff, I thought was really good. But yeah, like overall, this isn't bad. You know, we got a little story from Kelly Thompson about, you know, Rogue and Gambit and their cats, which I always appreciate.
If you've ever tried to give a cat medicine, that one hit you different.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, this was actually more enjoyable than I expected it to be. I remember at the time, I really, really did not like how slow paced it was. But, you know, as you get through the book, it's actually not too bad. Like the Glob Thurman one, where Glob is just sitting underneath the mistletoe, I thought was funny. I know people online love that book, or love that little one page story, because everybody loves Glob.
Yeah, it's just like, the fact that it's just little one page stories is good and bad, mm-hmm. right? Because it means that I want more of the stuff that I liked, but then when it's something I didn't really like, well, at least it was only one page, you know?
Right, right. Oh my gosh, the gift of the Madry story that Matthew Rosenberg did.
Was that the title? I didn't.
Yeah, the gift. Yes, Gift of the Madry, where Jamie Madrix accidentally replicates this one-of-a-kind watch that he gets from Gambit as a gift. The funniest, I mean, like, what a goofy story, a concept. I love when people actually do something very funny with Jamie Madrix. And then, yeah, the last story, I think, is all about Jubilee kicking Arcade's ass, which, great. He deserves it. He's always a garbage person.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, I'm glad that I actually sat down and read it this year. It was a good, like, get you into the holiday spirit kind of story. And I realized that this episode is coming out after, you know, Christmas and Hanukkah and stuff. But still nice to kind of, like, revel in the holiday spirit. And this, for me, I think, like, the Power Man and X-Men book definitely made up for the Lobo book, you know, for when the X-Men book actually hit really well, and the Power Man book just being a super solid overall story.
Yeah, we got to see Nightcrawler in, like, a Christmas sweater, and that was delightful.
Yeah, yeah. And all of, you know, it's really funny, like, they have the little micro, I don't know, like, mini Nightcrawlers still in this issue. Yeah, the little Bamfs, and those have just ultimately gone away from the X-Men books, and I wonder why. Maybe they aren't allowed on Krakoa or something because they're actually demons rather than mutants. I don't know. I don't want to think about it. But yeah, it's funny. We were talking about this, and we were mentioning it in the Discord, and Danny, good friend of the show, you know, mentioned that there were a bunch of other holiday books that we could have picked from. And, you know, honestly, I kind of want to read some more. Like, this has gotten me a little bit inspired to go and read some holiday themed stuff. And I'm normally not that type of person who wants to, like, revel in the holiday, because the holiday just kind of happens to me versus I actually look, you know, forward to celebrating it and dressing up and drinking eggnog and all that stuff. But for some reason, reading these books has actually got me excited for the holidays. I don't know if that same feeling swept over you as you were reading these books, Brian.
No, my heart did not grow 3 sizes that day.
Oh, if that's damn. What you're okay. asking. Oh, okay.
But yes, I did enjoy this, and you know, it's great to have all these different options for things that we can check out while we're mm-hmm. curled up under a blanket sipping cocoa.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that there's definitely a bunch of other stuff and that I think we could read. But I think that these just little one-shots are great to just kind of take as morsels for the holiday spirit. So, yeah, so thanks for, I mean, I appreciate you grabbing some of these issues and throwing them out, because this is a fun little ditty to put together.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I guess, you know, like I said, it's after most of the holidays. So I hope you had a good one. Happy New Year if you're listening to this before the New Year. If you're listening to after the New Year, how's 2021? Did the reset button actually work? I'm curious to know. Let us know. But I guess we'll wrap up the episode here. Brian, did you have any final thoughts before we jump into all of our credits?
No, I don't think so. I think that we're good to go.
Okay, cool. So you can follow us all on Twitter. You can follow Brian at Brian Head. You can follow me at Mike Rappin. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at IRCB Podcast. Please do. We try to post a lot, and it's really fun to have more folks chatting with us.
This show and our many subscriber-only episodes are powered by fans like you on Patreon. You can join us over there at patreon.com/IRCB Podcast. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to rate and review our show. I think we've earned 5 stars. You can find us there on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget, you can join us on Discord to listen to all of our episodes live, as well as just hang out with us. Join us at Hangouts and other fun things. Sometimes we stream video games and play Among Us. So make sure to join us there. And also, if you get a second, maybe tell a friend or two about the show. Infinity Shred does all the music for IRCB. They are the best band in the universe. We can't thank them enough for their help in making our show wonderful. Xander is a high master of the arts when it comes to audio editing, and he's just a great person to talk to. So thank you to him for editing the show. I want to say thank you to everyone who listens to the show. I hope you had a good 2020 for whatever that means. You made it the best that you possibly could, and we can't thank you enough for listening to the show over the last year. We will look forward to talking with you in 2021. So until next time, comics are good, and so are you.